Insight on Business, the News Hour, is brought to you by Tarot International. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Tarot. TERO.com. And the Iowa Business Journals, news and information for small to mid-sized businesses. IowaBusinessJournals.com.
Welcome back to the Business News Hour. You know, bad behavior in the workplace is costly. It costs productivity, it can cost potential legal fees, it costs settlement fees, and it can also create great pains for your business brand, even if your company is not found to be liable. Here we talk with Ned Flynn from Arion HR about a recent study from the Office of the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. You would know them as the EEOC. And some of this will make your hair stand on end. We start our conversation by asking Ned, what the heck are we looking at here?
Well, you know, employment claims are, they're a lot like, you know, any other catastrophe in your life. They don't happen that frequently. But when they do, they can have very significant consequences, not just in the dollars associated with them, but also just the reputation of the individuals and the companies involved, and quite frankly, the productivity. When you have an employment claim going on at a company, it does distract those involved from the day-to-day work, irrespective of whether that claim is a
if it's a valid claim.
Valid claim.
Yeah, exactly correct. I mean, anybody can bring a claim for anything, basically, right?
Yes.
And so even if it's not a valid claim, or at the end of the day it's found to be invalid and the judge or the administrative law judge or whomever says, we're going to throw this aside, you still spent considerable amount of funds getting to that point.
That's absolutely correct. And they're costly irrespective because even an invalid claim or a claim that gets dismissed right away involves a significant amount of time of your folks, but also more than likely attorneys.
And what you just said, how about that business brand? Because obviously when these things are filed, many times it goes to the press and the press takes it and there we go.
Yeah, and we've just had, examples of how reputation can translate almost, I mean, in this day and age, almost immediately into negative business results.
Yeah. So we're looking at a report here from the EEOC. This is the
Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. And every year they publish the statistics of the number and the amounts of employment claims and the types of employment claims. And we got this report from our insurance carrier recently, and it's just very interesting information. First and foremost, employment claims year over year went down by about 8%.
Yeah, I see that. Any reason?
I don't know that that's a significant amount, enough amount to say that there's a specific reason. What is interesting, and we were talking about this a little bit before, is that they make it sexual harassment claims that came out at the end of last year against some of the celebrities, that data has yet to be included in this information. So we'll have to see what that how that impacts the results next year.
Well, you know, when we talk about, and we have incidents here in Iowa about these very things in state government and in private business where sexual harassment charges a continued amount. I mean, I think the state just paid close to $2 million to settle one of those things. So not only is it a costly thing, but that business brand and that reputation, it really suffers. So they break it down by different items.
Yeah, so in 2017, there were approximately 84,000 employment claims. The most common claim is a retaliation claim. That was about 50% of the claims.
What does that mean, Ned?
So, one thing I want to point out is that a typical claim has more than one cause. So it's not just a retaliation claim. It's a retaliation and an age
or
sex.
Or,
and so retaliation is, hey, I did X, so you're doing Y. I'm a woman or I'm a man, and because of that, you're going to retaliate against me, or if you don't like the work I'm doing, you're going to retaliate against me and affect my business life.
And all kinds of things. I may have a family, I may be taking care of a child, I have extra time off, or whatever it happens to be that runs afoul of the norm.
Yeah, a lot of times we see retaliation claims in like FMLA cases, right, or workers' compensation injury cases where an employee has to miss work and then there's some sort of consequences to that that was out of their control.
Wow. All right. So when we get to the outside of the business brand being harmed, Ned, what do these things cost?
Yeah, so there's really a typical claim. Most claims are dismissed. So we run data, and we've 500-600 clients, and so we see these things on a regular basis, and we track it. And some 90-some percent of the claims we see are dismissed right away. Now, that doesn't mean that they don't cost anything, because a lot of times, and the insurance carriers a lot of times drive this, it is less costly to the organization to simply pay a settlement with almost no work than to take the time to respond.
Yeah.
And it's even a strategy of some folks. So so there's really two kinds of things. A claim that would go all the way to a courtroom, that's a compensable award, and what do they call it? They call it so it's a jury award or a court award.
Sure.
And then there's settlements. And so the cost of claims, or at least the awards given by juries, actually significantly increased. So even though the number of occurrences has gone down, those claims that end up in compensable awards, the cost of those claims have gone up significantly over the last few years. So the average cost in 2017 was $391,000.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
That is a lot of money. I don't care who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just to make sure everyone understands, Arion, you are not an insurance company. You're not.
Nope.
You're not adjudicating these types of things. You're an HR
mm-hmm.
company.
Yes, we're not insuring. In fact, our clients are covered by an employment practices liability insurance policy, and most companies have that. We're much like an HR department at any company. We're trying to either prevent that from happening, or if it does happen, get it resolved in the shortest time frame.
Mitigate loss.
Mitigate loss.
That's
exactly.
Very important stuff. All right, so we have these relatively large compensatory employment awards in 2017. Who's most affected by these?
You know, the data is pretty interesting. So of all the claims, and you mentioned it, government entities have the most awards, so as against a government entity, so that's kind of interesting. But in terms of percentage of the types of defendants, so who claims are made against, 49% of the claims are in the service and retail sector.
Ouch.
Yeah, and I think they just have a lot of employees and a lot of turnover, and I think that's why those numbers are what they are. And then pretty small numbers for other industries like manufacturing, 7%, transportation, 5%, and then government's kind of the rest. So,
I don't see any numbers here, Ned, for nonprofits. But just as a word, because I ran a nonprofit for a number of years, I know that nonprofits typically aren't flush with cash. Mm-hmm. They're flush with mission, not necessarily cash.
Mm-hmm.
And so when something like this, a wrongful termination suit or EEOC suit or whatever it happens to be, hits a nonprofit, that can be devastating to the mission of that nonprofit, I would suspect.
Yes, and I don't think that these numbers indicate that one industry is more likely to have a claim over another. It really comes down to what's the denominator, the number of employees
right.
within that sector. And I think this is something that every employer needs to be aware of, because if it does happen, it can have just significant ramifications.
Sure, sure. And there's all kinds of reasons, and we tickled this right at the beginning of our conversation with Ned Flynn, ladies and gentlemen, from Arion. We tickled this right at the very beginning. There's all kinds of issues that lead itself to a discrimination lawsuit
mm-hmm.
or some type of a lawsuit. And the first on the list that we're looking at is discrimination.
Yes, and discrimination covers sex discrimination, race, disability, age, and so it could be any or a combination of those categories. But interestingly, age is the most expensive type of discrimination claim, at least in the amount of the awards.
Why do you think that would be?
Again, I think it's just numbers.
I think
it's numbers.
Well, as individuals, as the baby boom generation, perhaps, I don't know if it's retaliation against older workers or how that breaks out. But still, there's such a large number of older workers today, and they're retiring at massive quantities every day.
And I wonder, I mean, I don't have any statistics on this, but if you think about the way business has changed, you know, from a technology standpoint, and, you know, I used to think that I was on top of technology, and now I try to turn on my computer, and sometimes I don't know what I'm doing. I don't feel like I'm that old, you know.
Kids in, right?
But so I think that, you know, the drastic changes in the way we do business today, coupled with an aging workforce, probably has some sort of correlation there.
It could very well be. So, yeah, and those damages on the age side generally are somewhere around $253,000 in court awards.
That's right, yep. And then, you know, as I said, there's two types. There's court awards and settlements, and even the settlements are an average of about $85,000. And I want to point out that these numbers do not include the cost of defending the claim.
These are just the awards.
These are just the awards. That's how much the claimant is receiving.
Ouch.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's move into one of the things that we've heard about a lot recently, and that's harassment.
Yeah, and harassment, again, covers sexual harassment and other types of harassment. So, and the numbers on harassment are actually going down.
Interesting.
And again, you know, it doesn't include the data that, you know, would have possibly stemmed from some of the more publicized sex discrimination claims that we hear about a lot now. But, you know, it has gone down. And I think the positive impact of social media and the information age is that there is more awareness to you know, what's appropriate in the workplace,
right.
And there's more. I mean, I know even at our company, we have better tools to educate our folks on preventative or things that they shouldn't be doing in the workplace. So education type of thing. So you know, I think there could be a correlation between the information age and these harassment claims declining.
Interesting.
But we'll see how some of those Matt Lauer and other things kind of play out.
And those are all coming up, too,
yes.
In this year's numbers. So what are the answers to this? We spent a lot of time here, Ned, talking about the problems that can happen to employers, whether you're a for-profit or non-profit, whomever you happen to be. What those charges are and the settlement claims. How do you monitor bad behavior? How do you try to mitigate that loss? What's the best way?
Well, the first thing, just there are many issues that are similar to this, but the first thing is just to have the appropriate policies in place to address them. And your policies need to basically first say that it's not acceptable any type of discrimination, harassment is not acceptable to the company. And then there also has to be a mechanism for reporting any situation. And I think that's the two components of a policy that are pretty critical. Any report or any type of situation that's observed by really anybody on your management team needs to be reported and investigated and taken seriously. Again, in this this information that moves at, you know, the speed of light, in that kind of environment, you really can't take a chance with, oh, they didn't really mean it. Everything needs to be investigated and then responded to. And I think if you do... And what I mean by that is, okay, if you investigate and there is cause for you know, something was not right, address that right away, both with the harmed party and the offending party. And that doesn't necessarily mean somebody's getting fired or that someone's going to – but just addressing things up front and correcting behavior up front is going to significantly impact any potential claim that could come in.
How important is it to keep records of all this?
It's important. And, you know, one other thing I'll mention, and, you know, for a small business, this is kind of difficult, but what we've seen a lot of times is that the company is smaller and they don't feel like it's confidential or comfortable. So you may even want to consider, if it's serious enough, bringing in an outside party of some sort to ensure the confidentiality and the comfort of the folks that you're investigating.
Hmm. Okay, so the money question here is this. We've known each other a long time now. I think all 3 years that you've been at Arion,
yes.
As a matter of fact.
In Des Moines.
And in Des Moines. What does Arion do to bring all this home, so to speak?
Mm-hmm. And this is probably a little known aspect of what we do. And I've got an example here where we had a client that had a situation. The owner was not even actually aware of it. One of the managers reported it to their HR business partner. And based on that, the HR business partner brought the management team into, just let them know what was going on. And the reporting party said, we asked them, but we asked them, but they weren't comfortable sharing the details. And so we met with all of the parties that were identified. We informed them both of the policy and the confidentiality, and they opened up to us. And so we were able to get all the facts and then address it with the harmed party and in a satisfactory way. And then take corrective action with those employees that were it wasn't a major deal, but it could have been.
Sure.
And I think that's the part that's kind of missed is we can talk about all these numbers, and they're terrible. The key is don't get there.
Don't get there. And as bad as all of this is, if you are the injured party, even if it is a relatively minor injury, you're still injured.
Yes.
And in the world of social media, that can blow up in everybody's face.
And we like spending our time on things like attracting and retaining top talent, and that's about having a culture that people want to be a part of. Well, this is part of that. If there's something that's wrong in the culture and you address it immediately, your employees are going to appreciate it, and they're going to tell others, hey, this is a great place to work, because they take things that affect me seriously. And so it does protect you from a liability standpoint, but it also supports that culture that you want to attract and retain your best people.
Yeah. And I want to just spend a moment and get into the weeds on this just a second, if we can. How do you guys go about doing that? That's a great story, how you were able to mitigate that risk. And that potential risk to an employer, but where do people start to get into this with Arion? What does it take? You don't want a problem to arise, first of all. And if you're a small company, let's say you have 40 employees, you can't hire a full-time HR director. What do you do?
We talk a lot about the life cycle of an employee, and we've identified there's 167 core processes in the life cycle of an employee.
Really?
And that's kind of the structure. So, it's like your car. Every car's got a transmission. Every car's got, right? So kind of the life cycle of employees got a basic structure. But every industry is different. Every business is different. And so if we think about the statistics in the service industry, well, the service industry has some typical situations that come up. And so we understand those. And so we start with the employment policies of that business. So, hey, here are things we've seen in other industries like yours, but then tell us about your business and what are some of the challenges that affect your business. And here's a real simple one. I was in Hell's Kitchen this weekend. I was up in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
And there's actually a statement on the wall. It says, I don't care. Tattoos, piercings, it doesn't matter to me. It's all acceptable. So in that business environment, that's acceptable. In another restaurant, that may not be acceptable. So same industry, but they have a different, and both are okay.
Different culture.
You want to make sure that your policies reflect that, and then all the other interactions with employees, you're mentioning it as well.
And there are so many places for people to get information on the legal side of out there. I mean, all you have to do is Google, I think I was harassed at work, and boom, up comes all kinds of contacts that you can. So it's better, I would suspect, from our end standpoint, is to never get to that place.
Never get there.
Yeah.
You know, so we start just understanding the business. What are the things you face on a regular basis? What are challenges that you're having with your employment base? How can we address those? And then it's educating, you know, managers. I mean, one of the things that I talk about a lot with prospects and clients is that, you know, the folks that are on the front line that are managing your staff, they've typically, we do it here, they've been promoted because they're good at what they do. They show up on time, they work hard, they're trustworthy, they're smart, they know what to do. Not necessarily because they are professional managers of people. And so a lot of our time and energy is spent with our clients' managers, giving them the skill sets that they need to address these issues, you know, up front. So policies, training and education, and then, you know, in the event that there is a situation, being able to respond to it quickly and appropriately.
Be actionable. Always be actionable. Ned Flynn, ladies and gentlemen, always interesting stuff. You know, if you own your own business, or if you're working in a business, or if you're working in a nonprofit, all of this stuff is it's happening and it's real and it's sometimes scary.
It can be scary, but you know, it doesn't happen a whole lot. But you're protecting against the worst case scenario, and you know, taking preventative measures is just like, you know, with retirement savings or with your auto insurance, all of those things. The more preventative steps you take, the better off you are at the end.
Mitigating risks, ladies and gentlemen, that's what it comes down to. Even when you go to your own doctor. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you.
That's Ned Flynn from Arion, Arion HR. If you missed all or any part of that conversation, it's up on our podcast page. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll find out what happened today on Wall Street. This is Insight on Business, the News Hour. May the good Lord.